Father Howman, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. We're going to talk about Father Howman's new podcast, but even more importantly, we're going to talk about this new 54-day novena that Father has organized with how many people? What's it up to?
I think we just crossed the 50,000 mark, but we're right about 50,000.
50,000 warriors praying for 54 days, this rosary novena, and it culminates on October 7th, which is the feast of Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary. It's also important because what else happens around October 7th, Father?
Well, the Amazon Synod starts the day before, so lots to pray for.
October 6th, the Synod starts.
Yep.
There's a lot of things going on in our nation, in the United States of America, that need prayer. We have these shootings. We have all this stuff about marriage and abortion, and it's always been a battle, but it seems to be getting more intense. So this is a great time to huddle under the mantle of Our Lady and to pray the rosary and join these 50,000. Hopefully, as people see this online and we move close to the beginning day, we get maybe 100,000. That'd be great. More people signed up. So before we talk about that, why don't we begin with prayer? I've been doing Latin prayers. And so do you mind if we begin with a Latin Our Father, Father?
Sure. Sure.
All right. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos
amados.
Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. You know, we sing that every weekend. So I was singing, Pater Noster, qui es in caelis.
It's great. You know, Catholics, I find, you know, even if they're not a traditional Latin Mass, they almost everyone knows the Salve Regina in Latin, if you're with, you know, practicing Catholics, and then also the Pater Noster.
Yeah,
those are in the bag. Yep. People kind of know the Ave Maria from the, you know, because they've heard it at weddings and whatnot, but I don't find that most people can sing it or recite it. But the Salve Regina and the Pater Noster, if you start singing it, people will join in.
Yeah. You know, I've been adding little bits and pieces over the last, I'd call it 12 years here at my parish. And that was the one I thought maybe they'd squirm a little bit, but they didn't when we started adding in the Latin Pater Noster. So,
yeah,
so I mean, they love it.
Kyrie
the only
eleison.
One that doesn't like it is my sister doesn't like it.
Kyrie eleison to slam dunk. Agnus Dei is a slam dunk.
Right. You know. Yep.
Sanctus, sanctus, sanctus all day long.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we should begin by a lot of people, because in the last 50 years, all these traditional norms of piety have been suppressed. You talked about that in our last interview about what your time in seminary was. And, you know, even in seminary, things like the rosary were looked down upon, Eucharistic adoration. Yep. So if those main, you know, top tier devotions were being knocked down, something that's less known, a novena. There are Catholics who have never prayed a novena. They don't even know what a novena is.
I know.
So we should maybe just begin at ground zero with people and talk about what's a novena, why it's important, and then how we got to a 54-day novena.
Right.
Because we can't invite people into it if they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so I think I'm right about this, that the very first novena was the Pentecost novena.
That's right.
You know, leading up to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that was 9 days.
Let people calculate. So Ascension Thursday.
Right.
To Pentecost Sunday.
Right.
If you count the day, so Mary and the apostles were praying in the upper room. Jesus ascended into heaven. They're waiting for the Holy Ghost to descend.
Yep.
The gift from on high. And so they're praying together for 9 days straight.
Exactly.
So a novena is a 9-day prayer.
Exactly. And so throughout our history, a lot of revelations came, and I think primarily through visions of the Blessed Mother, you know, apparitions of the Blessed Mother, but to pray these novenas. But there was one in particular where a young lady, and I don't have her name in front of me, but it was 1840. I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong about that. It was 1884. Because what's interesting is that's the same year that the Pope Leo vision was, with hearing Jesus and St. Michael talk in the sanctuary. And that's when, I can destroy your church and you can. I just need a greater power and more time. And so anyway, at the exact same year, this young lady was ill, and the Blessed Mother came and said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray three novenas in petition, and then follow that by three novenas in thanksgiving. And she was healed. And this 54 days, so six novenas in a row, started to spread. And the stories of miracles are just amazing. And here's what way I look at it, is I've been teaching this a lot. People come to me and say, you know, Father, I've been praying for this or that. And my first question is always, how are you praying? What are you doing? And oftentimes they kind of hem and haw. You know, when I pray a rosary, I offer a petition or something. And I said, listen, we're called to beg God. You know, and I always say he's a perfect dad. And this dad doesn't want to be your candy machine, okay? And he doesn't want to raise spoiled children, okay? So, you know, just saying, hey, I want this, and you got to give it to me, you know? God's like, no. He's instead, what does a good dad or even a perfect dad do? He says, okay, show me you want it. Show me you really want this, okay? See, that's what I think this 54 days is really all about. You saw in Nineveh, right? Nineveh was the story where for 40 days they put on sackcloth and ashes and they called out to God, and he relented in punishing them, right? And it's the same kind of thing. This idea that we take time out and we go, you know what? I'm all in. I'm calling out to you. I'm begging. And here's the other thing too. He's a perfect dad. What does he want? He wants us to be the best version of ourselves we can possibly be. So that's why I tied to this 54-day a boot camp, a basic training. And so every day we reflect on another quality of being a child of God. So you got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You've got the cardinal virtues, the theological virtues. Every day we take one of those, faith, and we look at that. What does the catechism teach? What does the Bible teach? What do the saints teach about this? And it's just a very brief reflection, but it's just meant to bring that theological virtue of faith on that particular day to your prayer and reflection and say, okay, how do I grow in faith? And the next day it's hope. And the next day it's love. So on and so forth. And we do this for 54 days, and we're basically in I call it a spiritual warfare boot camp. But so when people sign up for this 54-day rosary novena, they're praying in earnest with belief, okay, in the power of God. And that's what makes this 50,000, I call them the Navy SEALs of spiritual warfare, because they actually believe that when they pray, something's going to happen, that God's going to, he is the God of miracles, okay? So, but at the same time, like good military men and women, they're trying to be the best they can possibly be. And so they go into training during those 54 days as well. I like my favorite coach of all times. I grew up in Wisconsin, so the Green Bay Packers, right? And it was the 1960s where they were winning all the championships and everything. And Vince Lombardi, Coach Vince Lombardi, he's the Super Bowl trophy is named after him. But he, in the morning, every morning, he was a daily mass goer. Wasn't just a daily mass goer. He was an altar server for the traditional Latin mass. So every morning he was serving the traditional Latin mass and then going out and coach in the afternoon. Okay. No wonder he won three Super Bowls in a row, right? But anyways, he had my favorite quote is.
So what you're saying, Father, is serving the Latin mass wins Super Bowls.
Exactly.
Heard it here first, folks. Getting deep.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But his quote is one of my favorites. He said, listen, nobody's perfect. But if you chase perfection, you catch excellence. That's the missing link in our culture right now, right? We're not striving to be the best we can possibly be, the best version of ourselves. We're taking the lowest, most bestial form of ourselves and sitting there. So again, that's what this is all about. We're asking people, will you be a warrior in God's army? And that's why, too, I coined it the United States Grace Force. Because why? It's a force to be reckoned with, but it's a force that believes in the supernatural power of God. And so they're filled with grace. So they're moving out, not under their own power, but under God's.
Right. You know, it's unfortunate. I think you and I discussed this before. I can't remember if it was in just together or on camera, but the military analogies that are, of course, in the Old Testament, but all throughout the New Testament.
Popes, yeah.
Yeah, and in our Catholic tradition, of even in the Sacrament of Confirmation, this whole idea that we are warriors, that we are soldiers for Christ, that we are willing to be injured, we are willing to die, we fight, we push forward, we rally, all these military terms, you know, ever since the 60s, that's not okay to say anymore. It's not onward Christian soldiers, it's onward Christian people, right? This modernism. And so I'm excited that you're evoking the idea of the church militant. Here on earth, we are here for battle.
Right.
And our weapon is the rosary, right?
Correct.
We fight under the banner of Our Lady because she leads us to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this is beautiful. I think it's great. I want everyone to get involved. You know, I always say pray the rosary daily. This is another, like you said, like a Navy SEAL step. Boot camp. 54. Now, what is involved if you sign up? What are you doing every day for 54 days?
Okay. So you'll get an email every morning, and in that, you'll get that little reflection I talked about each of the gifts and the fruits and all that stuff. But you'll get also prayers. There's a beginning prayer, and it's just a couple of sentences. And then after each decade, there's also a sentence prayer. And then there's concluding prayers. So this is part of the whole tradition of 54 days. The other thing, too, is that I tell people, listen, if you're really stuck on the luminous mysteries, you go ahead and do your own with that. But what we're doing is we're using the three original mysteries. Why? Because when that novena was presented by Our Lady, that's the three, you know, sorrowful, joyful, and glorious mysteries. So we're using that in a rotation. So every 3 days. And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, people are accustomed to praying, you know, the sorrowful mysteries on Tuesday and the glorious on Wednesday and things like that. But this actually goes in its own rotation of every 3 days. Sorrowful, joyful, glorious, sorrowful, joyful, glorious. And we have a calendar that shows all that.
Okay.
But what are we doing there? We're being obedient. Okay. This is the way it was set up. This is the results, all these miracles that happened. And so for me, I'm just going, sir, yes, sir, you know.
Right. Taking orders.
I want to do it exactly. I want to do it exactly the way you originally showed us how to do it.
So you're saying that, this isn't Father Heilman's good idea.
No, right? No.
Yeah, you're
Don't
taking
ever
orders.
Take one of those.
Yeah, you're taking orders from on high and communicating the orders as they were given, and I respect that. That's good.
No, so and I actually
it's so it's just did. So people understand. If you sign up for the 54-day rosary to persevere and endure and to do battle in this way, you're being asked to do 5 decades every day. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. A rosary.
Which is what we should be doing anyway. Our Lady of Fatima says everybody needs to pray 5 decades every day. So you should be doing this anyway. This is a great way to get on board with 50,000 other people.
It is. And psychologists actually say it's around 54 days that we develop habits.
Yeah.
I think they say 60 days. So that's interesting, too. And the countless people that I've heard from that didn't have rosary as part of the devotion after they did 54 days, they're a daily rosary prayer now from now on.
Yeah, so
it
maybe
develops the habit for people.
Maybe someone out there, you don't pray the rosary every day. Well, here's the opportunity to put on the training wheels for 54 days. And then at the end of 54 days, kick off the training wheels and just keep riding.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, I tell people too, here's our two main petitions, okay? Basically, it's make America holy again is the first one, but we're praying faith into the nation, right? That's the number one. And then, like you talked about earlier, is just as we're concluding, the Amazon Synod is starting. So we're praying for our church in general, but especially for this synod that everybody's kind of like, yikes, this isn't looking great right now. But we need to pray for our, especially for our leaders to have courage. I want to pray courage into these guys. So it's a time to say, you know, it's a battle for the soul of our nation and for our church. I hate that some politicians have stolen that phrase, a battle for the soul of the nation. And then they're okay with abortion or whatever. Right. But it is. It's a battle for the soul of a nation. I know everybody is as shocked, right, of what's going on all around us. The two recent shootings, you know, but just one thing after another, it seems every day. I know people that just finally had to tune out from the news because they just couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
You know, so lots to pray for right now. And we've seen lots of results through this this prayer campaign. We started this in 2016, so
yeah,
this is our third year.
So it's pretty interesting too. I mean, when you look at the dates of what you were doing in 2016, maybe we should go over. You know, you have all these people praying, and then you have some miraculous interventions happening on key dates in this. Can you share some of that with us, Father? The dates?
Yeah, it was amazing. So here's where I come from. No matter what everybody's politics is, we need to stop the freight train of radical secular progressivism. That's where I'm at. I pray everybody else is at that place. So it's not about a person or a politician or whatever. It's about doing everything we do to stop that. Because what's coming in is the culture of death, anti-marriage and family and anti-religious freedom and all these things are coming at us, and we want to stop this and, in fact, reclaim surrendered ground. Okay, so that's the attitude going in, at least mine, leading this campaign in 2016. Well, I was remarking to you when we were talking, just you and I, that it very interesting that the day that we concluded our Rosary Novena on October 7th, people can Google this, is the day that the WikiLeaks came out that day. And all those damaging emails, day we started.
Which really hurt Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yep. And the day we started, the Trump campaign fired Paul Manafort and hired Kellyanne Conway. Now, Kellyanne Conway, they say you walk into her house, it looks like a rectory, they said. And she's a daily mass goer. She's an adorer. She's staunchly pro-life, okay? So whatever people have about her. And she has a great gift of framing things in just the right way. So I dearly love Kellyanne Conway. So that happened. Then after the novena was over, we asked everybody, because the election was coming closer, let's do, you know, things are not looking good, right? The whole country was saying, hey, this is a shoe-in for Hillary, right? Yep. And so let's do it lost causes. What is that? St. Jude, okay? So we did a 9-day novena up to the Feast of St. Jude. And on the 9th day, on the Feast of St. Jude, Comey gets up and reopens the emails from Hillary. And that was just days before the election started. So God is the God of miracles, in my estimation. So that was the year we started doing this. And I think we were about 30,000 at the time. We've grown to 50 since then.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't, and there's two things going on here. One is our nation, as Americans, and I know, you know, about 70% of people who watch my channel are American. Sometimes it moves around. 30% are not, right? So, but it's also referring to the Synod, to our church. You can't look around right now, Father, and say, yeah, everything in the Catholic Church is awesome. Bishops are on fire. Sermons are great. Everyone believes in transubstantiation. Babies are getting baptized.
I don't want to laugh.
Premarital sex is down.
Yeah.
Divorce and annulments down. No. Everything is spiraling out of control, snowballing.
Right.
We just saw this, these big studies come out in the past 2 weeks that 66% don't believe in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
69%. Yeah. 69%.
Yeah. That's horrible.
I know.
It's demonic. It's tragic. So you can't say, oh, you know, Taylor Marshall's conspiracy about infiltration. Look, there's a major crisis in the Catholic Church right now. And moving towards this Amazonian Synod, we have all kinds of paganism being endorsed in Rome by cardinals, by congregations, and the Pope saying the church needs an Amazonian face.
Yeah.
Wake up, people. We have to run to Our Lady. We must take up the rosary. We must draw close to Jesus. We have to be patriots and love our nation, and we have to be churchmen. We have to love the church. We have to be true Catholics. And we don't leave the church. We rally to Christ and ask for the church to be renewed and restored. But right now, there's a major problem inside the Catholic Church.
Yep. Well, and you and I have talked about this, but when you boil it all down, it's a loss of the sense of the supernatural. And so what is the rosary? You know, to the world, it's a bunch of idiots twiddling beads and repeating prayers, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. But to us, it's a supernatural weapon, okay? Padre Pio, bring me my weapon. It's a supernatural weapon. And that doesn't make sense to the world. You know, what is to Timothy, I think it says, the unspiritual man cannot understand these things because they're spiritually discerned. Well, you can't discern these things unless you're spiritual. This has been my cry. You know, we've talked about this too. And I actually recommended, the bishops put out on Facebook, what do you think we should do about this 70%? And I said, we can't read our way out of this. Okay. Better catechesis. I get that. You know, be a little stronger in what you're teaching about transubstantiation when the kiddos are growing up and stuff like that. But you can't force feed a book into someone's face.
No.
Okay. That comes when they come and they have an encounter with God and they cry out, "My Lord and my God," and all of a sudden, their soul just yawns wide open and they're like, "I need more of this God." Then they start to look more deeply into that faith and what this is all about. But until we have that, until we can help people to get to that encounter, that's what this is all about. And so it's a loss of the sense of the supernatural. And people, and I believe this too, at a subconscious level or a spiritual level, don't even realize that they're deprived of this. I mean, I've said they're like, they're thirsty in the barren desert of the banal, of the secular, and they're looking around for anything: crystals, horoscopes, witchcraft, Satanism. They're looking for anything that's beyond, you know, the ordinary, and they're looking for something that transcends the ordinary, and because we're hardwired that way, and so when you come to a mass, and everybody's in their I'm from Wisconsin, so I'll say it this way, in their Packer jerseys and shorts and flip-flops, you know, and there's a nice groovy band up there, and Father's nice and casual because, hey, it's a family gathering. Who in the world would believe that's God on the altar? You can't believe that, because nobody is crying out, "My Lord and my God." And so we need to pray. And that's really, again, if you want to be the Navy SEAL in the church today and storm the beaches of Normandy, in essence, join ranks right now with people who actually believe in the power of God. Let's call out to God. Let's beg God. Let's take 54 days. This is our campaign. This is our mission. Again, it's like Normandy, where the Allied forces are joining. It's the Battle of Lepanto. All the Allied forces joined together, and what did Pope Pius V say? Everybody, pick up your rosary, because this isn't just a physical battle; this is a spiritual battle, and he had the world pick up the rosary. And then some people, as they say, when he heard the victory on October 7th, he started doing a dance, you know, in the Vatican, you know, but he gave all the credit to Our Lady. And then he named that day of victory, Our Lady of Victory, right? And later it became Our Lady of Rosary because it was the rosary, the weapon that did that. But my brothers and sisters, we have to believe in the supernatural power of God. And so don't yawn at an effort that's getting 50, 100,000, maybe a million people who believe calling out to God at the same time for 54 days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Amen. And it begins what day? Tell everybody.
It begins on the feast of Our Lady of the Assumption, which is August 15th, so Thursday, this Thursday.
Perfect. Begins on the Assumption, ends on the Rosary.
Exactly. You know, when I conceived doing this, I said, I want to land on Our Lady of the Rosary. So I wonder what 54 days back is. And I'm going, holy cow, it's the Feast of the Assumption. So we've kept it there. Again, this is our fourth year now since 2016. And we're continuing to grow. I say too, for vets, you know, I look at vets, physical battle, they're out there and the bullets are flying by them. Okay. They're putting their life on the line for me, a perfect stranger. I mean, that's incredible. That's about the most noble thing you can possibly do, is to risk your life for a cause greater than your own selfish concerns. And then they come back and they're like, so what am I supposed to do now? Well, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Get into the greatest battle of all times, the supernatural war that we're in. Pick up your rosary and join forces with this grace force, okay? And let's push back the power of evil through the power of believing prayers and the mighty hand of God.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't quite understand that our ultimate enemies are not the Democratic Party or communists.
Right.
Our ultimate enemies is Satan and the demons.
That's right.
And they have cherubic and seraphic minds that can do mathematics and probabilities and all kind of things a million times faster than the smartest human. We can't outsmart these angelic demons. Their nature is above ours. They're fallen, right? But they were made by God with these great gifts, and they use these gifts for evil. So we can't outsmart them. We can't even fight them. We have to be like Jude says, and you know what St. Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray.
Exactly.
So we have to turn and put all of our attention on Jesus and his mother, right? She's not a god, but she's the greatest of all the saints, right? Most elevated human person ever. And say, help us. You have the power. You are glorified. Your name is above all names. And then they, when we say, may the Lord rebuke you, they bring the victory. So really, like you said, we want something. We're asking for 54 days in this case, not something, hey, we want a new football, right? Or we want $1 million. We're saying we want your name glorified. We want goodness, truth, virtue, morality, the Catholic faith in our presence. And so we're asking you for 54 days on our knees, begging with these beads, please give it to us.
Right.
He smiles upon that. He smiles upon that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I had something happen the other day. I wasn't getting internet. And I was talking to a friend on the phone. I was telling him about that. I said, I tried everything. He said, did you try a binding prayer? And so I did. And the internet came right back. So, but, you know, what was the binding prayer I chose at that time? Well, I didn't have the my book next to me, so I did St. Michael the Archangel. Mm-hmm. And then I also did three Hail Marys, and I said in Jesus' name, and boom, the internet came on. But, you know, that's the kind of prayer, too. We can't bind Satan, and this goes to what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. God can, and so we're asking God to. Now, exorcists are given a special calling for binding Satan, but we shouldn't even attempt to go there. In fact, it's dangerous if we go there, trying to bind him under our power. Mm-hmm. So with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible, right? We've tried everything, God, on our own power. We've put you off in a corner and ignored you and tried all this other stuff. Okay, now we're exhausted and we're done, and we realize now we can't do it. You got to do it. And what does God do? Is God assists us in a lot of times. So what I believe has happened since 2017, when we overtook Satan's power, his greater power, is that we're believing more in the supernatural. Yes, but here's what's God doing since that time. And you can see it all over the place. He's exposing. I call it, he's put a flare up on the battlefield. And he's showing us evil, okay? And saying, now, go get it. Now, get out of your foxhole. Get out of your bunker. Get up on the battlefield and go after it. And that's what we're called to do, okay? And he's showing us evil. It's so ugly, too. But all of these powers that had, well, all of these evils that had power under the cover of darkness are now being exposed. What did we just have? Who was the guy that just died, suicide? Epstein. But look at all that exposing that's going on right now. Whereas before, I mean, they go to Pedophile Island and with no repercussions for doing that. Because under the power of darkness, you know, and there's so many complicit in putting that covering over them, like the media and whatnot. But it's all being exposed, and now we got to go after it. But that's what I'm saying. This is the D-Day. This is the D-Day. It's all ramped up to this. Now we get to get onto the beaches and go in.
That's right.
Yeah,
Father, did you see that? Speaking of patriotism and all that, did you see the Polish young man? In that pride parade with the crucifix and the rosary standing up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love Poland so much.
I do too, man. I say to my kids, look, after college, I want you to go to Poland for 6 months and find a spouse. Nice. That's even a better investment than sending your kids to college. Send them to Poland.
That's right.
They're beautiful people. They love Christ. They love the Catholic Church. They're patriotic.
Their faith is deep.
Their faith is deep. The Polish people are fantastic. The church in Ireland fell. And the last European stronghold right now is Poland.
I know.
And I think, you know, you see this parade and this young man, you can see they're trying to use the strategy they did in Ireland to take down Poland.
Right.
And hopefully there's more young man like this man, young man Jacob. You know what provoked him, Father, is he saw in the parade Our Lady of Częstochowa, the patroness of Poland, with a rainbow halo.
Oh, jeez.
And when he saw that, he got the courage and he got a crucifix and stood up. Yeah. So he saw it in terms of not just politics. He saw it in terms of blasphemy and sacrilege versus Christ.
Yeah.
And he's 15.
And he picked up the cross and he went in.
Yeah.
I'm going in, you know? And there's a great image where the police were taking him off and he still got the cross.
Yeah, I've got it on the screen right now. You can't see it, but I got it on the screen.
Okay. Good. Yeah. But, you know, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? That we've got to finally say enough is enough. We can't, I put it this way. I think there's three choices that we make when we face war. The first one is to hide, you know, and what is that? That's draft dodging, you know? And right. So what do? We get ourselves so caught up in our stuff and we ignore that there's any evil around us. And I frankly know people like that where they're like, what evil? I don't, you know, everything is cool. Really? But so there's those people who just avoid it at all costs. And then the next one is people who just surrender, you know, that evil one. Devil's won, so they just get in the fetal position, and or worse yet, they switch sides because the cool kids are on the other side. It's popular to do that, you know, and so they get in league with the devil. But then the third one is, we need to get in the fight. Right. You see, you can hide, you can surrender, or you can fight, and that's the choices that are handed to us right now. And so for anybody listening, where do you stand? Where do you stand? And there is something we can do. We can do it the way God wants us to do. He showed us. Do it this way. Pray the rosary. Oh, here, better yet, pray it for 54 days straight. Oh, wait, better yet, pray it with a ton of people. There's a great quote. I don't have it in front of me right now, but St. Louis de Montfort said, you know, that when you pray the rosary individually, the devil can get the better part of that. But when you pray in a group, okay, you can overcome the devil. Okay, St. Louis de Montfort promoted this, growing a group of prayer warriors praying the rosary together. And so, you know, that, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I, you know, 2016, yeah, Islamic terrorists cutting people's heads off, and they spit in our face with same-sex marriage. You know, you can marry your cocker spaniel now. And I'm just going, I'm not going to take this any longer. No. You know, no. Let's grow an army. Let's grow a huge army. And let's do it precisely the way God wants us to do it. And let's push back evil now.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about that Polish boy, Jacob, is he didn't get a gun. He didn't put on brass knuckles. What'd he do?
Exactly.
He got two sacramentals of the Catholic Church, the crucifix and a rosary.
Right.
You know, and I want to read this quote.
He knew what it was.
This is Jacob. He says, "Later I sat on the pavement and prayed in Latin the words of the Salve Regina." This is the boy. "I directed my prayer to the Mother of God, the ideal of purity. Policemen came to me and asked me to get out of the way. I said I couldn't do it because the participants of the march are destroying my Catholic faith and profaning the Polish flag by placing a rainbow on it."
Wow.
Warrior. Bold.
Yeah.
What if we had 25 bishops with that boldness?
Wow. Imagine that.
Imagine.
Really everyone, I think I mentioned that I had Matt Walsh here about a year and a half ago, and his topic for his talk was Satan's tactic for Christian America. Mm. Don't awaken their courage.
Ah.
Yeah. And so he talked about how, you know, you'll see it in other countries where they'll be asked, are you a Christian? And then they'll say yes, and their head will be cut off. Satan doesn't even have to do that in America. You know, we can just get lost in our barbecue and our golf game or whatever, and you know, we're not in the fight. And so he can move on.
In America, you know, Satan will say, oh, don't say a prayer over your lunch. It might offend someone in the cafeteria at work.
Exactly.
what he's got going here.
Yeah, don't get caught saying this, making the sign of the cross in public, you know?
Yeah.
Because you might be one of those radical extremists, you know, whatever. You know, in Poland, you know, St. Faustina's diary, it said, spark will come from Poland. Mm. And in so many ways it has. You know, I said we started in 2016. In 2017, in the centennial year of Fatima, there was a grassroots effort that got, and some people say as high as 1.5 million, but it was over a million. Polish people went to the borders of their country with their rosaries, and they prayed. New York Times picked up the article, picked up the story. Over a million Polish people prayed the rosary on what? On October 7th, on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. So we actually were inspired by that, and we called upon all countries. 2018, we had 52 countries praying with us and over 1,200 public sites around the United States, which we call Rosary Coast to Coast. And we all prayed at 3 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Eastern, and so on. But it's precisely at the same time we prayed the Glorious Mysteries together, 52 countries, 1,200 sites around the nation on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary last year. So we're hoping to do the same thing. This year we're moving it to October 13 because it happens to be on a Sunday, but it's the great Feast of Miracle of the Sun in Fatima.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that, and we'll be talking about that, especially if you get connected to this Grace Force by signing up with your email. And I want to tell people, I don't know if we talked about it enough, but you can go to actually a couple places. You could go to usgraceforce.com, and you'll see all kinds of great articles about all this, and you'll also see a big button where to sign up to join, to be a prayer warrior, to be in this Grace Force. Also, you can go to rosarycoasttocoast.com, and there's actually a link in there for Novena for Our Nation as well, and that's where you can sign up as well to become a part of this. Okay. If all that else fails, email me, and I'll give it to you. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, I'll put it up here on the screen. There it is. Is it USA Grace Force or US Grace Force?
US Grace Force.
All right.
.com.
I got it on the screen there.
Do you see the big bold gold button to the right on the screen? Because I can't see the screen right now.
No, I just put the URL on the screen so people could type it in themselves.
There you go. Nice. Good.
Yeah.
But that's what they should look for.
You know, October 7th is dear to me because you know, my main job is not doing YouTube videos. I run the New St. Thomas Institute, and we do Thomistic studies, philosophy, theology, church history, apologetics. That's what I do every day. Just recorded 8 new lessons last week on Christ in the Old Testament. And we started on purpose. Our opening day was October 7th, Feast of the Rosary.
Perfect.
So,
wow.
And so this October 7th will be our 6th anniversary. And Our Lady of the Rosary is the patroness and the, in a way, the foundress of the New St. Thomas Institute. So a lot of good things happen on October 7th. It's the day.
Yeah, get everybody in the institutes praying the 54-day for the institute.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I want to remind people, too, is that, you know, while we have these great petitions for faith, growing faith in America, and courage for our leaders in the church and the Amazon Synod and all this stuff, add your own personal intentions, because you have 50,000-plus people praying for each other's personal intentions during this time. Right. And we have seen amazing miracles in the last 3 years with this campaign, personal miracles that people have, healings and relationships and conversions and all kinds of stuff. I really wish I wrote a lot of them down, because it would fill a huge book, the miracles we've been seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I want to, speaking of being a soldier for Christ, I want to thank you for all the ammo, spiritual ammo cans you sent us. Kids love those. And I took one of those, what do you call the rosary? The spiritual combat rosary? What do you call those?
Combat rosary.
Yeah, the combat rosary. I took one of those to the Holy Land with me. Okay. And you had had previously, you'd had the rosary touched to how many relics? 160?
165 saints.
So the rosary you sent me had it had been touched to 165 relics. Then I took it to Jerusalem. And I place it at the place of the Incarnation, of the Annunciation.
Wow.
I touched it to the place of the Visitation. I touched it to the ground where Christ was born.
Wow.
I touched it to the place where he did the Sermon on the Mount. I dipped it in the Sea of Galilee. I touched it to Golgotha. I touched it to the Holy Sepulchre. I touched it to the Church of the Dormition.
Wow.
I touched it everywhere. any relics of saints? So, I mean, I loaded up that rosary, has 164 relics on it, and then just about every single place in the Holy Land. And after I got home, I was like, if I lose this rosary, I'm going to be so sore.
Yeah.
So it's in my gun safe right now. It's safe. I only perfect. Pulled that one out for, like, special needs.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. That's a powerful weapon you have there, my friend. Yeah, I'm actually carrying. Here, I got mine right here. This is touched to 165 saints.
Wow.
This one I got. I become really good friends with Father Carlos Martins, and I said, can I send some rosary to you to touch all your relics? He does those tours with the relics. He says, sure, bring them over. So he touched a handful for me. So you got one.
I got one. So, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. So thank you for that gift. It's a weapon. Like I said, I got it literally in my gun safe. It's a weapon. You know, it's locked. I don't want the kids like, oh, I need a rosary. I'll borrow dad's. Take it to school and leave it in somebody's locker and I never see it again. You know, I want to make sure that I keep that one.
I was talking with someone who does carpentry, and we got all excited because, and we still might do it, but to make a gun case, but only it's a rosary case. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. I'd get
but
one.
Make it look just like a gun case. Make it just look just like a big gold gun case. And you got all your different rosaries hanging in there. Yeah, exactly.
You could maybe, yeah, if you've got some relics, you could put those.
Yeah.
In there as well.
Different rosaries for different situations, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, another thing going on that we haven't talked about is you're launching a podcast of your own.
Yeah.
With Doug Barry.
Right.
And that's launching this coming week.
Right. So it's tomorrow is our first. We're actually launching on the Feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, which 14. Is amazing. And, of course, Maximilian Kolbe, he was a guy that wasn't going to sit and take all this stuff. He wasn't going to take all the propaganda that was going on at his time. So he used the newest media of his day and to push back truth against falsehood in his time, to get the teaching of the church out there. He started the Militia Immaculata. Interestingly enough, he started that on, I believe it was on the Feast of the Miracle. No, I tell you what, it was 3 days after The Miracle of the Sun in 1917. You can look it up. October 16, 1917 is when he started the Militia Maculata.
That right?
He didn't know about no Miracle of the Sun in those days.
There was no Twitter back then.
Yeah. But he started a military, a branch of the military, basically, with the Militia Maculata, and called on people to be warriors at that time. So he is the patron saint of the U.S. Grace Force. And of course, this is the Grace Force podcast that Doug and I we're going to have our first one tomorrow on the feast of St. Maximin Kolbe. And then in another week from there, a very special guest is going to come on. The doctor that I'm looking at right now, so he agreed to come on. So, but what we're going to do is a lot of times, maybe we're kind of making this up as we go along, but I think maybe about every other time we might have a guest on. So you're our first. Thank you, sir.
Good.
Thank you, doctor. Yeah.
Oh, so I'll be the very first guest.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Because tomorrow we're going to launch just Doug and I and kind of talk about why we need this and what it's all right, about.
I'll get my good rosary out for that one.
Good.
Yeah.
So
what kind of stuff are y'all going to be talking? Y'all going to be mainly doing the U.S. Grace Force and topics pertaining? Like, are y'all going to be tracking along with the 54-day novena? Is that kind of be your emphasis initially? Yep. Or?
Well, yes, we're going to highlight some things. You know, remember we said that the 54-day is a training. So we're going to be highlighting some things that we're in training doing at that time, right? So that'll be a part of it. But so that's what the podcast is all about. It's a training, okay? And to become stronger in the grace of God, but to become stronger as children of God, all right? What does that look like? How do we become stronger? So it'll be that. It'll also be reconnaissance. You know, what is the devil up to? Okay, let's call him out. You know, and then it's also going to be, okay, now how do we fight? What do we do? You know, what are the devotions? What are the sacramentals? What are they all about? What did God have in mind? Why are they powerful? You know, what are the exorcists telling us? So on and so forth. How do we fight? So it's training, and it's recon, and it's how do we fight? So.
Great.
By and large, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and Doug Barry would be great for that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, people don't know Doug just started working for the Diocese of Tyler with Bishop Strickland.
Yeah.
Which is another power team.
Yeah, yeah. Bishop Strickland heard him talk, and he's like, "What?" Because Bishop Strickland, he's a spiritual warrior himself, and he's like, "I need this guy."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you put a bug in his ear too, didn't you?
No, yeah. Yeah. I like Doug Barry and I like Bishop Strickland and I know them both.
So oh, yeah.
It's just great to see them. I love it when a team comes together. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
And it's one of the encouraging things I've noticed in the past maybe 12 months, Father, is so many good people coming together. You know, there are these petty rivalries and disagreements, you know, amongst Catholics. Yeah. Who are the good guys, you know? And it's been neat to see different faces and different voices and different names collaborating together.
Yeah.
More and more. And hope I think one of the reasons is we see how big the evil is and how fast it's moving, and you can't, you know, an elf may not like a dwarf, but when Mordor's growing, elves and dwarfs get along and they learn how to fight together.
Yeah, well, it's the Battle of Lepanto, right?
Right.
It's all those remnant forces coming together. Don John of Austria, Pope Pius V put him in charge, and he went around and collected all the remnant forces and made one force to be reckoned with, and that's what this is. And so you're seeing a lot of summits. There's just a Catholic Men's Leadership Summit down in Texas that I couldn't get to, darn it, but... But so lots up there. I know Catholic media is getting together, all kinds of stuff. So there's summits, but that's what it is. It's the Battle of Lepanto, and that's really again what this 54-day Rosary Novena is. Let's get the Allied forces together, and let's unite, and let's storm the beaches, and let's go in. So, And at the same time, what you're seeing too, and it's so demonic. You know, I always tell people the other name for the devil is Diabolos, which means the divider, you know, and division. And so you see this kind of infighting going on. And I try to stay clear of that, because that's not good. This is the time to be full on Lepanto. We've got to go in together.
That's right. And at Lepanto, you had people from all different cities and nations who had to come together, like in the Crusade, and they didn't all get along. But Don Juan of Austria says, hey, this is for Our Lady. This is for Catholic Europe.
Exactly.
One of the great anecdotes about Don Juan, that story, is I heard that if anyone on ship, as they were going into battle, said God's name or blasphemed, immediate death penalty.
Oh my gosh. Really?
He's like, the stakes are so high, we can have no blasphemy or sacrilege on the decks.
Wow.
Because sailors, having a mouth like a sailor means something.
Yeah.
And Don Juan said, not this time, not this battle. Right. You got to have a pure lips going into this one.
So what is he saying? Well, what is he saying there? We don't want anybody out of a state of grace, basically. Right. You know, we're going into the power of grace, or you're not going in at all.
That's right.
You know, so, yeah.
I believe he also got priests and had the men confess going out too. The same idea. If we're going to fight for Our Lady, we need to be in a state of grace. Mortal sin on decks. Exactly. Plus, you might die anyway, so you want to go to heaven, not to hell.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a great.
I did not know that.
It's a great analogy. Look it up. It's a great analogy for our battle, right?
Right.
We come together. We stay in a state of grace. Pray the rosary. Keep our mouths clean. Keep our lives clean. Fight.
Yep. Put the petty differences aside, and let's be an allied force to be reckoned with. You know, I mean, we're on the same team. You know, and the devil just will have none of that. He just wants us at each other's throat. Don't get sucked into that tactic of the devil.
That's right.
But in a state of grace, allied forces, we're going in.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. So, yeah, and this is a great way, again, we're starting this Thursday on the Feast of the Assumption. You know, just all you're doing is putting your name and your email in, and you're going to get the daily reflections and the prayers in your email box in the morning for signing up. So let's get a mighty force together.
Yeah, I'd encourage, you know, there's 70-something thousand people who watch this channel, go sign up. Taylor Marshall says, go sign up. 54-day novena. Father's not paying me. I'm getting anything for this. I want to see Catholics grow and win. I want kids to grow up in Catholic homes and be safe and love our Lord. I want people to be proud of being Catholic. I want holy bishops, holy priests, holy cardinals, holy popes, beautiful liturgies that worship and adore God. Let's ask for it.
Exactly.
Let's ask Jesus for it through Mary.
And I do believe that there's all kinds of signs that we're starting to turn the corner. And like I say, I believe, my personal belief is in 2017, we did turn a corner, and we overcame the devil with our greater belief in the supernatural power of God. So we got to stay the course. Okay, this battle isn't over. It won't be over for maybe centuries, but there's so much at stake in our time, and so much at stake for our children and our children's children. And we want to be like that guy in Poland, you know, that just says, I'm not going to take this. You know, here's my rosary. Here's my cross. I'm going in.
And I mean, he's 15, Father. This kid, Jacob, is 15.
Yeah.
And he said he went there and he was afraid. But then when he saw that they had blasphemed a image of Our Lady of Częstochowa, he says, I asked for a cross from a priest from the Płock parish. The priest was afraid of atheists profaning the Holy Cross, but he gave me a crucifix. I want as many people as possible to see my gesture. I wanted to make them reflect and discuss. First, I walked with my cross in hand in front of the police court and protecting the Equality March. Later, I sat on the pavement and prayed in Latin the words of the Salve Regina.
That's awesome.
We need some kids like this. How many 15-year-olds you know are praying the Salve Regina in Latin?
Yeah. It just stirred my memory is that the Democratic convention is going to be down the street from me in Milwaukee. So I'm going to get a bunch of people with crosses and rosaries to stand out in front. And yep. So plan on that. Yeah. Look up the date. I think I can't remember when it is, but it's next summer. So
right.
We're going in. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe I'll come up for that.
Do it. Do it. All the cool kids are doing it.
All the Catholic cool kids are doing it. So
That's right.
All right. Well, pray the rosary. Go to usgraceforce.com. Sign up. Be part of the army that's praying these rosaries every day. Joyful, sorrowful, glorious. Run that cycle. We're praying for the church coming up to the synod. We're praying for America in her sins, that we aren't all lost, but that we have a renewal of Catholic faith, Catholic belief. And, another thing we mentioned, be in a state of grace. Go to confession. I try to go to confession every 2 weeks. That's, roughly 26 times a year. I don't always make it. Sometimes it's 3 weeks.
I'm about every 5 days.
You're on every five
I'm
days.
I'm a priest. The devil hates me.
That's right. So we got to stay pure. And, Father, you mentioned last time, maybe people didn't hear it, but you've got the 24/7 confessional. Tell people again about that.
Sure. So I re-outfitted the front entryway of my rectory. It's a small little foyer. And so when they walk in, they see a kneeler at my office door, and I bore a hole in my office door and put a screen there. So I'm on the other side. I wheel my office chair over to the door, put my stole on, and we're going to confession. So and people just know about this. I actually have an app coming out. I wish I had it right now talking with you, but it's just to be able to check and see if I'm available. You just look at your app. Oh, his light bulb's on. He's available. And I actually can say I'm here till 6 p.m. or something like that. And I'm actually going to make that available for priests, too. So they can write a little note. Yeah. And you can actually press buttons on how to go to confession. You can do an examination of conscience, and you can look for a priest on it. But that's coming out. We're working on that right now. But the whole idea is what you just said. And I'm telling everybody, too. I said, we start on Thursday, get to confession. Because like Don John of Austria, right? He got his men to go to confession before they went into battle. And that's what we need to do, too. We can't – with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So we're going in under the power of God, or we're not going in at all.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So final push here. Go to usgraceforce.com. Put in your name and your email. And you're not going to spam them with stuff, right, Father? So don't worry about that. You're gonna be part of the 54-day novena. You're going to pray five decades every day, and you're going to get a reflection daily from Father. Is it necessary to do the reflection, or is just helpful? How do you understand that, Father?
No, the reflection is there for a person to be in training. And again, it takes like a minute and a half to read these reflections. It's not a lot of stuff. But the prayers, you do want to pray, because again, you want to do this obediently. Mm-hmm. Don't do it the Father Rick way or the Taylor Marshall way. Do it the God way. Do it
and,
the way
and
it was
where
revealed.
Do the prayers come from so people know?
Yeah, so this was all revealed to... I can't remember her name. I don't remember. But when the original 54-day was revealed in 1884, the way to pray this, and it's just been in part of our tradition since then.
Good.
So
yeah, I think it's helpful so people understand what am I getting into here. So it sounds noble. It sounds pure. It sounds good. So usgraceforce.com. And Father, you want to end us with a prayer or blessing? I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, everyone, get to confession, pray the rosary every day, and go to usgraceforce.com for that 54-day novena. Thank you, Father Holloman.
All right, thanks,
Taylor. Signing off, everybody.